Thank you for tuning in to episode 10 of the Keto Matrix podcast. This episode is the bro episode. I have the honor by myself of speaking with Danny Vega and Robert Sykes, who go into great detail about mass building on keto. We each talk individually about what we're doing and how we're doing it, kind of how our approach and outlook is, as well as, ketogenically speaking, what's necessary for building muscle on keto. Whether you're a woman that's looking to do body recomposition or a man really trying to figure out just how much mass you can put on, this is an episode you definitely want to lean in on. Thank you so much. Let's jump into the episode.
The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com. Now, let's jump into our latest episode.
All right, so I feel like, you know, I really felt special for a little bit that there was this culmination of three great minds. And when I say three great minds, I'm just speaking that confidently into existence for myself. But I thought that until about 5 seconds ago, when you guys just listed off the gamut of other podcasts where you guys have appeared together. So I will just say, for those of you that listen to the numerous podcasts where Danny Vega and Keto Savage have been on together, this is yet another one. However,
I love it.
Yeah,
you're the magic ingredient, man. We're going to make something magical together.
At the end of the day, I don't want to throw race as a card, right? I'm the most non-racist person in there, but I can guarantee almost that I'm probably the only, for the video where it's necessary, black guy on
the podcast. Yeah. No black dudes involved in previous recordings we've done together.
That's all right. So I'll feel special sure. There then. And that's the way that you know that this is just racially sound.
We checked all the boxes.
Yes, that's it. Everything is checked off.
We got a Latino. We got Robert. What do you call yourself? I mean, American.
Superman.
Superman. Yeah. Kryptonian.
All right, so yeah. Speaking of Superman, isn't there a black Superman that's coming out? Somebody told me that. I don't know if they were lying or not.
Oh, I did hear something about replacing Tom or Cavill. What's his name? John Cavill? The current Batman or the current Superman.
I'm absolutely the worst person that knows any kind of actors or actresses' name. Seriously, I have no idea.
Yeah, was it Michael B. Jordan? No.
No, it was Michael B. Jordan, because Michael B. Jordan played the arch rival in Panther, right?
Yeah, but you got people playing like different Marvel characters and DC characters. You think it's like going to exclude them, but they still get casted. It's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. And this guy told me this and I kind of was like, it doesn't make sense to me. I feel like, and again, I'm not racist. This is not a racist podcast. But at the end of the day, I just don't know how Superman can be black.
Yeah,
they got a black Santa Claus, so it only makes sense.
I guess. I don't know. It's either going to be do really, really well or tank.
It could be like if you bring in like the different Earth 1, Earth 2, Earth 3, then it's easily made possible.
True.
And people love that. You know, I would love that because then it just expands the universe, you know?
I mean, from a thought process, I think it's awesome. But I just feel like I don't know. I think just Clark Kent has been typecasted for so long. So we'll see. We shall see. I don't know. But moving right along.
I'll watch it. I love it.
So Superman, Danny Vega, and Neo. We need to get a John Wick in the keto community.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, that'd be absolutely awesome. But having said all that, I really wanted to first thank you guys for taking the time out to hop on and just kind of talk through. This is going to be the podcast I want for anyone that's listening that says, I really want to gain mass. And since I can't do it ketogenically, I'm going to do X, Y, or Z for them to be able to listen to this and just blow their mind on the fact that that's absolutely not true. So, I mean, what better people to bring on than the three of us? So who wants to go first? I feel like Robert should go first just based on the fact that his numbers have already been put out there. And they're astronomically insane.
Plus, he's the actual competitor, the one who's been on stage and had to put on muscle, proven.
With actual accolades. That's true. Yeah. Superman, so why don't you lead the charge?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been strict keto for 4 years. I haven't done any, you know, carb cycling, and they haven't done any carb refeeds in there. So 4 years strict keto, and in that 4 year time span, I've guaranteed I've put on muscle. My lifts have all increased, and you can look back at, you know, stage photos from before I was keto and now, and you can see where I've built and developed more tissue, muscle tissue. So that, I mean, that alone, I think, pretty much speaks to the fact that you can build muscle. I mean, as long as you're activating muscle protein synthesis, I mean, you're going to grow. And you're putting your body through a stressor. You know, you're giving it a stimulus that requires growth, and you're fueling it with the right nutrition. Like, you're going to build muscle tissue. That's just how it works. And now, currently, what I'm experimenting with is just an extreme hypercaloric surplus, like 6,000 calories a day for 6 months, and following an 80% of my calorie intake coming from fat kind of ratio. And it's interesting because I did that 6,000 calorie intake before when I was eating carbs, and I just got fat. Like, I was 28% body fat. And I'm definitely putting on fat now. Like, there's no denying that. Like, I don't need that much food, but my body is becoming really, really efficient at using that intake. And all of my lifts have increased since upping my calories that amount. And I just to like a crazy amount of energy. Like I said, I am putting on fat, but I'm definitely putting on muscle in a very acute way. I've been able to tell over the past month that, I mean, all of my lifts have gotten better and my measurements have all improved. So that alone should speak to it. And I kind of want to bring in, I know this is about us three, but I really want to bring on or just kind of mention my fiance, Crystal, because she's a really good outlier for illustrating how you can build muscle keto. Because she was doing a regular diet for 6 months prior to doing keto, and there's pictures of her, and I mean, she was just tiny. She had no shape, no muscle, and she's been keto strictly for 2.5-3 years since then, and she's won her competitions as well. And it's just night and day difference. And I mean, a lot of females, you know, scoff at the fact that they can't build muscle with keto, and she's like a perfect illustration of the opposite. So I mean, if you look, I mean, people hear what they want to hear, right? So they want to convince themselves that they have to have carbs and, you know, spike their insulin and have these post-workout shakes to be able to build muscle. But that's just so far from reality, you know. I'm kind of going off on a tangent here, so.
No. Hey, no tangent. I think that's absolutely perfect. And I think that, you know, it's you had mentioned before, and I know we all have this mentality of not having an absolute, because that puts you in a box that you can never get out of as far as being able to, like, grow your mind beyond whatever we know right now. If I learned new information yesterday and I applied it to tomorrow and saw a different result, I'd want to then, you know, follow that path of what else leads to and comes from that. And I feel like too many people paint themselves in a corner with what they think has always worked. So, no, I think that's absolutely awesome. And just throwing this out there, I know that Crystal's your fiance now, but the three of us are all pretty much married. So at the end of the day, you know, two become one. It doesn't matter. Like, you could throw her in there. That's totally fair game.
Yeah. Good.
And if not,
yeah, I can comment on the same thing with Maura. I mean, like, I'm looking. Trust me, I'm looking every day, and feeling too if I need to, because, you know, quality control. I'm here for that.
Yeah.
You ask me sometimes, and I'm more than willing. But like, she's got the best physique she's ever built on keto, and like, you know, the hardest she's been. There have been some other variables, like the training has been better, but then that you can't just dismiss that, because then you would also say, well, her output is greater with keto. She feels better. So even more of a reason why keto is a good framework for building muscle.
Yeah. I mean, so for me, when I even looked at keto in its grand scheme of things, right, it's an efficiency thing, right? If you're putting yourself in a position to have your body work more efficiently, then that means it should work more efficiently all the way around, whether that means recovering from an illness, whether it means recovering from an injury, whether that means you know, your brain function and operation of things, or being able to grow the proper muscle tissue. It all should be more efficiently done because your body's operating in a more efficient state. That's just like a bare minimum. So when people come and they're like, oh no, it's impossible to do that. I'm like, it's impossible if you're in this kind of hybrid mode where, you know, you're cycling carbs in and your body's confused as what the fuel source is and what it should be relying on, you know, and there's no consistency behind it. That's it. So it's funny to me because there's still so many people out there arguing the fact that you can't do it. I mean, and I feel like, how many people does it take? I mean, you know, there's not a ton, but there's enough to say, like, this, it's been proven. Even if we just used Robert and Crystal, if, let's say the rest of us dropped off the face of the earth. Like, there are two examples where it can be done, in which case it's no longer impossible.
Yep.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I found that I'm not convinced that I can build muscle tissue faster than I could with, you know, a proper allocation of carbohydrates. But it's pro and con, give and take, right? So with carbohydrates, you might be able to build muscle tissue at a faster rate that you're going to get a lot of the negatives that come with that, you know, like the inflammation, the fat tissue gain as well. And you're just not going to feel as well. And like from a competitive bodybuilding standpoint, like that's what every other competitor does. They'll go into a more aggressive off season. They'll put on a bunch of fat, put on a bunch of muscle. And then when they cut down, they inevitably lose a lot of that muscle because they're having to take such an aggressive approach to their cut. Whereas with me, if I don't put on as much muscle in that off season, but I put not near the fat gain, then when I cut down, I can sustain a lot more of that muscle. And ketogenic dieting is much more of a, you know, muscle sparing diet in the first place. So at the end of the day, when we both step on stage, from time A to time B, I think I've built and maintained more muscle than they have. So at the end of the day, I win. And it's more sustainable and more enjoyable.
That's huge. And so there are going to be a handful of people that hear the following statement, which I wasn't even sure if I was going to dive into this level of transparency. But I mean, I feel like we're just a bunch of bros talking, so I'll throw it out there. It doesn't matter how many people may listen to this. So there was a period of time in my life where all I wanted to do was walk and crush concrete. Like that was my goal. It was like, I know I have arrived size wise when I can walk in concrete crushes. I don't know what weight that is, but it was definitely upwards of 260 pounds. Yeah.
How much was it for you? 260?
260. Yeah, 260. So at that point in time, right, I was doing a lot of exogenous experiments. We'll put it out there like that. I would cycle insulin and take in waxy maize during my workouts. I would do a gram of test. That's a lot. Like,
wow. And insulin too. That can be scary.
Yeah. Now I will say this though. I was a beast, man. Like absolutely beast. But Robert, to your point, like why, you know, when you get to that point, when you're putting that amount of muscle, it doesn't matter if you're doing 120 pound dumbbell presses for reps. If and when you come out of that situation, what can you retain and what are you putting your body through in order to come back out of it? Because it's really hard to maintain that and then still strip all the body fat away. Because at the end of the day, I was eating like a beast, I was fat like a beast, and I was strong. But it's not something that now in my frame I look at and say, why would I ever want to do that again? Why would I want to put myself through that again? And that's where it's got to be quantity over quality, or I should say quality over quantity, in people's approach and looking at what they're doing. And I mean, there's no mental wellness. You know, I think about myself then as immature and ignorant as I was, to what I was actually putting my body through. Like it's just not, it's not sustainable for health and wellness and longevity, in my opinion anyway. Right. So, I think that's a really, really good point. And I mean, we can't all be freaks of nature like Danny Vega. Like, I mean, like, guy walks, you post pictures, bro, and I'm just like, this guy's showing off, man.
You know what, man? Like, I was thinking about this too, because, like, you know, it's weird. Like, I've been told about, like, that I have good genetics since high school. And, you know, because I was in high school, I was already like 200 pounds, you know, good shape. Not how I look now, because I was more of a football. Like, my waist was bigger, my neck was bigger. But I've always been told, like, yeah, you got good genetics. And then, you know, I used to look at my parents and I used to be like, I don't see it. Like, where did this come from? You know, like, and that's where epigenetics comes in and like lifestyle and stuff. But then I got my genetics back and I'm like, I don't have good genetics. Like, I got all this stuff in my genetics. It's not good. So like, you know, I think that, the one thing that can overturn and I guess give you good genetics is like, you know, a lifetime, like 20 years. Like it's basically, for me, it's coming up on 23 years of consistent training my whole life, where I've never taken off more than a week, like literally never taken off more than a week off at a time. And I think that becomes a big factor in changing your epigenetics. It's so powerful. It's that consistency where, like, you know, you see people left and right, like, whether they're your gym partner for a few months or they're just a friend, that you see them get real aggressive and they put on some size and then they fall off, or they get lean and they fall off. And I'm like, all right, man, I'm just going to go back to the gym tomorrow, you know, like, you know, and it's like, you know, I wish more people understood that, that if you just were to do 2 to 3 days a week consistently over a period of years, then you would see those results. But I don't think it's not sexy, though, you know.
No. Yeah. Hard work's not sexy for anyone.
It's not sexy. And like with keto, you know, people are. It's to get that short term like benefit they do with carbs, like from in the gym, from the strength perspective, and you lose that when you first start keto. So you're going backwards there for a little bit, and I don't think people realize how long it truly takes to get adapted. You know, fat adapted. I mean, it's not simply just registering 0.5 or greater on the ketone trip. And you know, for me, like I've noticed enhanced gym performance. You know, 1 year after keto, and it's improved after 2 years and 3 years and 4 years. Like it only gets better and better and better. And that whole long
way more than a few months
is oh yeah, yeah. And people need to think about it in terms of that if they're going to be successful in the gym with physique or their health.
Oh, true story. And I just want to bring out the fact that you say that as far as our body improving. And I just had a client yesterday that was like, you know, what's the time frame for fat adaptation and fat efficiency? And they were like, you know, is it 3 to 6 months? I was like, no, it's closer to 6 months to a year. But all of that still surrounds in your approach to keto, right? If you're carb cycling and doing targeted keto and everything else that's out there, you know, your body is not going to make that transition nearly as fast because you keep putting that crutch in. You know, you've got to rip the Band-Aid off, go through the hard time of that transition, and then realize that you'll come out better for it on the other end. And I think that's one of those things that, you know, I don't want to say it's the society that we're in, but I know that as Americans, we definitely we want quick gratification. I don't know, everybody does, right? But I feel like even more so here. And we are just hoping that if we just take 40 grams of carbs before we work out, that it'll be the solution, instead of just realizing that sometimes you have to take a back step in order to take 2 steps forward. That's just necessary.
I totally agree, man. Yeah. I have 3 thoughts that have 100%. Been kind of appearing in my head since this has started. And the first one, I wanted to go back to what Robert said, because, you know, writing the Ketogenic Athlete book, one of my biggest passions is this subject, you know, and addressing this subject, and not knowing that I'm not going to be the definitive answer, but I want to give a real thorough answer. And, you know, what Robert said about the gives and takes and like the positives and the strengths and the, you know, looking at all of that, that's very helpful in taking a real good look at the approach that you want to take when it comes to building muscle, because you do have to acknowledge that insulin is a growth factor, and insulin is very anabolic, and having those carbs and being in a higher insulin environment puts you in an environment of growth. But then you start to look at all the downsides to it, and then you look at the upsides to keto, and it's true, like there's a longer wait. There's certain things that you have to like address and be in your training. And like, I think that people sitting down and having an honest conversation with themselves about this, I think a lot of them are going to come out on the side of keto, because you have your enhanced just focus and recovery and all those things that come into, it's this whole picture that not a lot of people are looking at. They want to argue with you on their terms. They want to talk to you about, you know, your workout's not as good, or you're not good at this, or you're not as good as that. And, you know, I would concede. Now, Robert is a beast in the gym. Robert's the type of guy who's like, he's going to sit down and he's going to say, I'm going to throw this much weight on there, and I'm going to do it 500 times, and I'm going to not keep going, you know? And I want to get your thoughts on this, Robert, because like for me, like I think that it's important to not be in this glycolytic pathway for too much when you're building muscle on keto. I would say, like, for me, what's been very useful has been, you know, making sure we understand the differences between the different types of hypertrophy. You know, you have sarcoplasmic hypertrophy, which is associated with the bodybuilders. You know, it's that, you know, filling of glycogen. It's that bigger, fuller look, not quite associated with strength. Because if you see those people that train in that pathway, that you'll see like the strength curve, it starts to go up along with the muscle, but then the strength levels off in the muscle.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're frozen.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can now. Okay, you were frozen for a second. We can hear you.
All right. Yeah, it just froze. So and then you have myofibrillar hypertrophy, which is more like the strength athletes. You see that they have strength and growth. And so I stay a lot of the time in that myofibrillar type of hypertrophy. And I think that that's just maximizing what, maximizing my training to fit my diet. And I think maybe it's not that important for an untrained person to even consider, but for someone like myself who has really high intramuscular and intermuscular coordination, it just basically means that it takes a lot less work for me to stimulate my muscles because I'm stimulating more fibers because they're more, I'm more trained. So even if I were to up the volume, I personally probably wouldn't, if I were to up the volume to the levels that some of these bodybuilders train at, I personally wouldn't do well without the carbs because it would be too much. And I'm not, I don't have this exogenous sugar that I'm taking in to do that. And so that's just my opinion. And I think that I've been able to put on muscle very well in the last 3 months. And we've been training in the way that I say that is more applicable to ketogenic athletes. So like, you know, I go into that glycolytic zone. I do drop sets every now and then, but I'm not out here doing, you know, 50 sets and, you know, several hundred reps and all this stuff because it just, for me, it's not effective.
Agreed. I think that that makes a lot of sense. So what is your, from a volume standpoint and a frequency standpoint, what are your workouts? What do they look like the last 3 months?
So frequency, definitely more on the frequency side too, because you can get, you know, recoveries better. So I, on average in the past 3 months when I was doing all this training and we were also training with Derek Lunsford, getting him ready for the Olympia, shout out to him for getting second in the 212 division.
Mr. USA, right, on Instagram, right?
Yeah, Mr. USA 2017. I wonder if he's going to change his name. I guess he'll still keep that one. But, you know, we basically did we did legs twice a week. One day was more focused on the quads. One day was more focused on the hamstrings. But both days were all legs. And then we would usually do chest and back twice a week. And man, my chest grew like crazy doing this stuff. Like it just – the other thing is just something that not a lot of people think about. You know, you talk about slowing down to speed up and really taking a look at your programming and really looking at, if we know angles, you know, how do muscles contract? How do they look? If you see, like, you know, the different angles of where a movement is going, you would be able to easily see which fibers are being stimulated, you know? And sometimes people will do a movement and I'm looking at it and I'm like, you're not stimulating that muscle. You're not contracting that muscle. You're not getting good contractions. And like we think about macros and we think about all this crap. And then we realize people don't realize they're not even training the right way. And they're not taking the time to build the skill. There is a very important aspect of your training that, and that's skill, you know, development, developing a skill on how to do a movement where you're getting the best contraction in the shortened position and in the lengthened position. That's something that I've learned a lot from Ben Pakulski. And it doesn't take that much if you do it that way too, you know, because you're getting much better. It's like Ben always says, it's about contraction, not completion. You're getting much better contractions and you're just getting a lot more out of your training. And so you don't even have to rotate exercises if they're working very well, because now that you've got the skill to a T and you've got it and you can really connect with that muscle, now you can go heavier. You know, you can really push it on that movement, but you can't really do that while you're still learning the skill.
So I agree with everything that you just said, but there's something else I just want to point out because I feel like this is really important. And I know this from having talked to you guys and following you guys and all those things. But for that person that's listening that just doesn't get it, you know, when I was insulin and the exogenous things that I'd put in, peptides, all these different things, right? It was the mindset and mind frame that it was a shortcut to the goal I had in mind, right? Like if I do this, it may be a lot faster for you to take in X amount of glucose in order to build muscle, right? But it's not worth it. We've established that. The other thing, though, I feel like it doesn't matter where you're at in your pursuit. If you're not constantly plugged into looking onto people like Ben Pakulski, Mr. USA, yourselves, right? Other people that are out there in the industry to continue keeping your mind fresh on the attack and how you approach each training exercise. You know, I personally will read a few things to jog my mind and watch a couple people on YouTube before I hit the gym, just so that when I enter, I adjust my mindset to know that I'm going in to damage my body as much as I possibly can within the given time frame. And the effect and the impact that I have will be directly related to how much effort and how much focus I have on that. You know, being able to look at that and constantly grow and make sure that we're focused on that. I feel like that's one of those things that people don't put enough into, right? You have to stay connected and looked into and passionate and pursuing, you know, other people that are doing the things that you want to do so that you can achieve those things. And I think that that's clearly represented in everything that you're stating as far as you yourself. Yeah, 23 years consistently is fantastic, but you are still willing to and want to connect with other people that are doing it so that you can continue to improve. And I think that that's a huge, huge nugget.
Yeah, I wrote an article once. It was like probably 13 years ago. It was for Elite FTS, and it was talking about how no idea is original. And I quoted Nas because Nas has a song called No Idea is Original. And, you know, it's like nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. It's never what you do, but how it's done. And it's like, you know, reading an hour a day on the subject that you're obsessed with makes you better, you know? And it also... it's so important because you see people, I'm not going to say their name, but you see douchebags that are just like digging in deeper, that are like really like, no, keto's not good. I'm like, you mean to tell me that keto is not good for anything in any time frame of your athletes? I mean, come on. There's not one thing that you can get from it. And that comes from locking yourself in that echo chamber. You know, like I like to hear different points of view, and I'll even entertain the idea. And then I'll always, like, at the end, respectfully, you know, a lot of the time, respectfully be like, no, that didn't work for me, you know, but at least, at the very least, I entertain it, you know. There's just no way you're going to learn if you don't do it that way.
Well, I can't remember who it was that quoted it, but, you know, they said something along the lines that you can learn more from other people's mistakes than your own successes.
Yeah. And then you could also like, just, that's so good, too. And it just, everyone is a teacher. Every single person in the world is a teacher. Like, everyone has something to offer you. And if you can see it that way, then you can be like, you automatically, your feelings don't get in the way where you're like, look at this guy. This guy's going to tell me something. Look at his shoes. He doesn't even have good shoes. What is that? You know, like, I'm like, who cares about his shoes? I was talking about this yesterday with Maura because we were doing a mindset episode, and we were talking about how, like, I disagree with Noam Chomsky on a lot of things. I disagree with Obama on a lot of things, but sometimes they say things that make sense. And what am I going to do? Say that I don't agree with him because I don't agree with him on something else? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make any sense.
That's a true story. Yeah. I think that's good, especially in the day and age we live in, right? Like, that's, we could go down that rabbit hole, man. I feel like that's always the thing that it's like watching CNN.
Someone can teach you, man. Yeah.
There's a constant balancing act between learning new skills and then perfecting your craft. And that is, there's a lot to be said for that. Like, so many people get into this, you know, just paralysis because they're analyzing so much different content on the internet. And with today's, you know, day and age of the internet, it's easy to do. But some of the most pivotal moments in my life where I've really just had the most success is when I put my head down and ignored everybody else and everything else and just got to work. So many people are hesitant to get to work because they're trying to figure out the best, most efficient way of doing something, and then they don't do anything. So
there's one thing.
There's a lot to be said for both sides of the same coin.
It's that, you know, like, you're a really good example of that, man, is of putting your head down and getting it done today. Like, and you know, I'm with you on that mission to spread that message about shut up and do something. You know, the only truth is action. That's Marcus Aurelius, man. You can talk and all, and then you can research, and then you can wait until it's perfect, and then you can write out your plan, and then you never do your plan. Just do it, you know, work on it and learn from it.
True story. And then do it long enough. I feel like that's like, don't go to the gym for a week and you can't understand why your biceps didn't grow 2 inches. Like, that's not it. 23 years later, if it's not working, maybe you should make adjustments.
Yeah. You know, that's that mentality. Yeah. So people are like, they're like, okay, they see a finish line. And that's where they're mistaken. They're like, all right, let's go. I'm gonna hit it hard. One month later, man, I thought I was supposed to hit the finish line. But no, man, there's no finish line.
Not only the mental psyche that plays with you too, man. It's like there's so many things that are working inside of you that you're not even aware of, and they just don't come out at that rate. I feel like for all of us, we could be on this philosophical end to talk about the mental aspect and shape of what it looks like.
Yeah, we get into that real quick, right? It's natural for us to go there.
Because it's what shapes our everyday, right? It's the way we go to sleep. It's the way we wake up, and it's the way we're able to get anything done beyond what we ever imagined prior. But having said that, and people are probably listening like, What I want to know more about mass building. I don't understand how all this stuff relates. But Robert, where are your numbers right now? I know macros are probably, I feel like nutrition's an important part, right? Like you could never outwork bad nutrition, but at the same time, nutrition still matters. Like you have to figure out exactly what you're putting in and how those things are going to impact you. And I know you're eating crazy numbers. What do those look like for you right now?
Yeah, so currently I'm at 6,000 calories, 550 grams of fat, 250 grams of protein, and no more than total carb of 30 grams. So pretty high intake for sure. It's hard. Like it's hard to get that much food in. Like it's not easy. When I did that 21-day 4,000 calorie challenge, like I could do that pretty easily. Like I could eat 4,000 calories without much trouble, but 6,000 calories is the whole of the beast for me. I think everybody's got like their upper threshold in which it's just no longer fun to eat. And I'm definitely there.
And how many are you a month in? Or how long has it been for you already?
Yeah, about a month, month and a half.
Is your weight stabilized?
Yeah, it's pretty much, I'm like 190. I'm sticking around 190 now pretty consistently.
Nice, man. 190, bro. That's big, bro. That's
yeah, it's kind of crazy because I compete at like 155, so that's a lot bigger. The biggest I've ever got was 230, and that was when I was with carbs. But yeah, 190, and it's kind of crazy. Like I'm the biggest I've been in years. The biggest I've been since keto, and I randomly decided to sign up for a marathon. So I'm running a marathon on Saturday.
Wow, man, that's that mindset.
Yeah, 190 pound marathon. That's gonna be not your fastest time, probably.
No. And I did 405 pound squats today. Yeah, so most runners probably aren't doing that.
No, yeah. That's awesome. That's total beast mode for sure. And you said you're doing 30 total carbs, right?
Yep.
What do those look like? Are you doing salads and stuff like that, or just veggies that mixed in? Or
yeah, I've been doing more greens, and then I'll do like some keto bricks. One or two keto bricks throughout the day. I've been making this like 2,000 to 2,500 calorie shake, and that's been like a lifesaver in getting all those calories in. But I'll cut up like half a keto brick and mix it in with that with like 6 or 7 tablespoons of different MCT oils and olive oils.
When are you having that shake?
Usually in the evening before I go to bed.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, cool.
Which is a good thing. I if you're going to eat that much oil, I recommend doing it before you go to bed so that it doesn't go straight through you and kind of sleep on a little bit,
Oh man, we're gonna have to flip the content on this. So I think that's awesome. I couldn't imagine eating 6,000 calories. I am in October about to go to 3,300 calories, and 3,300 calories for me right now. I'm 171-ish pounds, and that's a lot for me with what I eat. And I've targeted my protein at like 1.5 grams per lean pound of body mass. So that puts me at like right around 200 grams of protein every day, and the biggest thing I feel for people looking at keto and the aspect, 30 grams of carbs total is really not a lot. So, to be able to carry that much size around, still have strong lifts, still go up is a lot. It says a lot for your body's ability to kind of adapt and work through ketone process. And the other thing, I just want to throw this out there, and I know you guys know this, but ketones have the ability, just like glucose, to create glucose that's necessary. I think that too many people are focused on gluconeogenesis being strictly for protein and excess protein, but they don't recognize the ability for the body to take your fat, your triglycerides, to create glucose necessary. The fact that we still run on ATP regardless, whether we're on the standard American diet or whether we're keto, we are still running on ATP to fuel our energy cells. And so energy is still energy in that regard. And I think that is something that's lost in these people's mindset of you have to pound down carbs. So having said that, I will be keeping my carbs below 10 total every single day. It's for me more important to target my protein, leverage energy through fat, than worrying about making sure that my glycogen response from carbohydrate intake is taken care of with anything. And really the 10 grams is just because there's trace carbs and stuff, right? So like certain cheeses are going to have some carbs in it. Eggs. There's just certain things where carbs show up. And so, will I hit 10 grams? It's not a goal. It's just a point of, I don't want people that are following my fitness pal to say, oh my goodness, he had 10 grams of carbs and he says he's carnivore.
People don't get that. People are crazy because I'm carnivore and sometimes my carbs would be 15. You know, but I'm not going to say I'm strict carnivore because I've been doing some wacky stuff lately that's not carnivore. But, you know, you can easily get 25 grams of carbs a day if you're eating, you know, Braunschweiger and liverwurst and you know, liver and other organ meats and stuff. You know, you eat enough corn. If I eat a pound of liver right off the bat, that's going to be 20 grams of carbs. Because for every 4 ounces, it's about 5 grams of carbs.
Yeah, and I don't think people put enough reference to that. What are you doing? What are you eating right now, Danny? What are the wacky things you're experimenting with?
I gotta have my fitness pal open so I can explain this. All right, this is the first time I announced this anywhere.
Now I feel special. That's special warm fuzzy.
Yeah, it's like I started this week, but I've been doing, with the exception of the Monday, which is the completely wacky day. I've been doing kind of like this thing where I cycle calories lately, and I'm really into it because at first I was not reflecting anything that I was doing in my workouts, but now I'm actually timing workouts to take advantage of what I'm doing that day. So if you look at Sunday, it's a very typical old school version of what I used to do. It's 20 grams of total carbs, 135 grams of protein, and 240 grams of fat. On a Sunday, it's a beautiful thing, eating the eggs, kielbasa, fatty coffees, and it's just like, it's very enjoyable, you know?
Yeah.
Monday, I come in and I do, which I did this crazy, very metabolic workout that involved 210 total burpees and 8,000 meters in the rower, and then an extra 2,000 meters in the rower and an extra 40 push-ups, so I can hit that 250 number just because, you know, OCD. And then I had that day, I had 68 grams of carbs. And it was a mixture of, I had my first salad that I had in probably a year or a little bit more. And, I turned off comments when I posted both of these meals because I didn't even like, I don't want to answer questions. I don't want to like, because people look to you like, what are you doing? So I could do it, you know? And, you know, first of all, I'm not there yet. I don't even know if this is going to be good or not. So don't do it. And second of all, you're not me, you know? So, so that day is more of like it's kind of like a dry run. Cause I told you guys off the air that I'm doing like paleo. I'm comparing three different months, paleo up for a month, keto for a month and carnivore for a month. And, I'm going to write a workout that has just enough endurance, just enough like sprinting type of stuff, just enough hypertrophy and just enough strength so that if one diet shines over the other in 1 month, maybe it does better in another area, you know, so that.
That's good.
So the workouts, you don't want them to be like too skewed towards one type of eating. So, so anyways, that day is more, it's 65 grams of carbs, but it was like 34 grams of fiber, which is the most fiber I had like in a very long time because it was spinach, avocado, cabbage, and acorn squash. That's where all the carbs came from. And that day was 205 protein and 145 fat. So that day is more of like a paleo type day. Then Tuesdays and Thursdays is... it's a high protein, lower fat. So 15 grams of carbs, 245 grams of protein and 155 grams of fat. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday is very similar to what I've been eating for the past like several months, which is 230 grams of protein, 170 grams of fat and 20 grams of carbs. And that for me has been like if I'm like trying to lose a little bit of fat, if I'm trying to cut down a little bit. For me, being as fat adapted as I am, I'm comfortable with it. If I'm just like in maintenance mode and I'm just like trying to feel good and work out well, like I would just do one times my lean body mass in grams of protein. So that's about 205 grams. And then just set my fat equal to that in grams. So 205 grams of fat. And that's like, you know, plenty of calories. But I'm playing with these numbers because the calories, I've been able to push calories down and not suffer and not have performance suffer. So I've been relying on protein a lot more in the past several months. And I didn't feel good when I first did this. When Robert and I did the protein, high protein month last, well, can you believe that was a year ago, man?
I was going to say that was a while ago now,
yeah,
right?
That's crazy.
October, November, December, it feels like it was a few months ago.
Yeah.
I felt terrible. I felt tired. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a different type of adaptation going through getting your body. Because our bodies is like, we argue that there's a certain diet that works well for everybody. And I would agree with that. But then in reality, also, our bodies are like these poor things. They just, they adapt to whatever we do. You know, like, they're like, I guess we're eating vegetables only now. I guess that's what we got to make do with. We gotta make protein out of these vegetables, people. All right, let's go. You know, like this is what we're doing right now. You know, and the body finds a way to kind of adapt to it. And sometimes you do it and you feel better over time, which has happened to me. Sometimes you don't, but then you still try to do it because you're stuck in dogma, like a vegan. Unfortunately, you know, they'll feel good at first because they're feeling better than they did on a Western diet. But then when those deficiencies start to add up, and that you know, depression comes and that no energy comes, you know, they'll talk to their friends, and the friends will be telling them like, oh, you're just detoxing or whatever.
You're eating the wrong radishes. Change the type of radish. That's what it is.
Yeah. Different company.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is I think that's such a good point. I mean, the whole, our bodies adapt to what we put in them and they work that way. I'm remiss to say this, but I took esters today for the first time. I took some ketone esters and I feel so much better now than I did when we started recording this. And the only thing I can think of is that, you know, I've taken salts before. And, you know, if I think back to how I felt when I took salts, you know, my body was just kind of like, what in the world did you just put in me? And what do you want me to do with it? And it doesn't matter whatever it's supposed to do. It's the fact that it's your body having to adapt to something new. And I think that that's the thing that people have to recognize is that, you know, the 75-25, that's a, and when I say 75-25, I should probably put a gap between 20 and 5 so people recognize that it's three separate macros. But either way, I digress. You know, it's a baseline for something to understand and put together, but it's not the be all end all. And you have to look at and recognize that at different stages, those numbers can change according to what your goals are, how you're feeling, you know, what's going on in life at that moment. And I don't think enough people recognize that. I change my numbers constantly. You change yours. And a lot of it is so that we can figure out and we can understand how our bodies are responding to those different inputs so that it gives us more knowledge to help people of a more, you know, vast background and what their goals are and what they're doing. You know, that to me, I think is so important because everyone is like, oh, well, you know, you're eating 76% fat. Why would you do that? Well, because I feel a certain way that way. Or you're eating 80% fat. Why would you do that? Like, you know, you can't understand those things until you get to the point where you're at that stage where you've tried it, put it on yourself, tried it with different clients, tried it with different friends, and then got to a point where you said, okay, consistently, this is how I feel from it. And or, you know, it was at this stage. Maybe your training was a little bit different at that point in time. You know, those are the kind of things that I feel like, you know, ketogenically, we all can agree, no matter if you're a net carber, total carber, whatever, that your macro set is different for you. And you should never try to take yours and just apply it to somebody else's and say, okay, well, that's going to work.
Yeah. And I want to say something about Robert, because one of the things that I'm interested in, because I'm like following along with Robert, is like, think about what eating 6,000 calories for 6 months is going to do for your metabolism. I mean, you know,
exactly.
The opposite would be true for someone who is a chronic under eater. I mean, this guy is going to be just, he's not going to have to, like, if you were to do a prep next year, which is it next year? Is it 19 or 20?
20.
Okay, 20. So if you continue to eat, you know, relatively higher levels, which I could almost bet that your baseline, you know, maintenance calories
100%. Will go up
by 500 to 1,000, you start pulling calories and you're like, holy crap, look at my waist. It's coming down and I'm still eating, you know, 4,300 calories right now. that's powerful, and that's his,
you know,
adjusting.
It's kind of crazy. Like, I've got a client right now who was a chronic under eater. I bet you I know who it is.
She did a really terrible.
I've got several of them.
Okay, the one that was 600 calories.
Several of them.
I won't say her name, but I know who it is. Yeah,
600 calories. Like,
yeah, man.
Oof. I've literally got her up to almost 3,000 calories now, and her weight has not gone up a pound. You know, like, think about what that's doing to her. Like, she's reversed her thyroid issues. I mean, her metabolism and her hormones have all improved. Like,
macronutrient status.
Yeah, I mean, everything. And like this range of calories. Like, okay, I need to be between here and here. If I go under that, I'm gonna lose weight. If I go over that, I'm gonna, you know, gain weight. You can reset yourself and give yourself enough time. That's success love. And I'm not suggesting anybody do 6,000 calories. I'm not suggesting that, you know, 115-pound female jump to 3,000 overnight, but you can adjust and you can improve your baseline, you know, based off of what your inputs are is huge. You
isn't
know?
It isn't it like isn't it ironic that the same people who marvel at something like that, they don't put two and two together that it's something they can do. So they'll look at someone online and they'll say, can you believe this chick is eating 3,000 calories? Look at her. She's so lucky. She's got all this fast metabolism. If I eat more than 1,400 calories, I start to gain fat. And then I'm like, have you tried doing it for a little bit longer than a week because your metabolism is broken? Have you tried fixing it? You know, they don't think about that. It's sad because they're the ones who need it the most.
No kidding. Yeah, I mean,
100%.
That's the I feel like the most ignorant are the ones that are so absolute. Same thing as what we talked about when we first started. It's my metabolism is slow. It's like, no, it's what you're putting in it. Like, it's got to go someplace. You're going to have to use it. And that is when I was 300 pounds, I was definitely burning more calories than I was at 170. Right. Mm-hmm. And so the efficiency that it's being processed is different for sure. But that doesn't mean that if I don't ramp back up and then I want to cut later, that I can keep my baseline at a higher level now and shred up a lot easier. Like, those are the things that I think, you know, it's a science, right? Which means that there is no absolute because it's a science, and you have to be able to have someone come in, which is why I think coaching is so important, right? Like, all of us on here coach clients, right? You have got to recognize, pick the coach that works for you. We are all not the same. I can tell you right now, our coaching strategies are a lot different. I'm not a nice guy at all. I'm very black and white. If you don't like it, tough luck, get coached by someone else. And so I just say, like, and I'll have the links in the show notes to ketosavage.com and fatfuel.family. And, you know, I encourage everyone that's listening, you know, look at these guys, look at what it is that your goals are, and then match yourself up with who you think associates best with that. We all have a vast array of clientele, and they're different backgrounds doing different things. But at the end of the day, you have to look at what you really need. And I was just talking to someone about this yesterday. If you're not taking time to reflect on what your shortcomings are as an individual and where you think your areas of growth and opportunity are, then you're doing yourself a disservice, because you'll never be able to align yourself properly with those people around you, whether it's family, coaches, friends, relationships, to help you grow from that state, because it's not comfortable and you have to be willing to get uncomfortable to get to that point. So
You should also have the integrity to be able to look at, pull up five different programs that and different people that you're working with, their files, and see, you know, five different things, you know,
oh, for
there's
sure.
No, yeah. There's no way these people are going to be eating the same way. I mean, it's very rarely are these people going to be exact carbon copies of each other. You know, some people have similar body types, but, you know, even the workouts are going to be different. You know, I just had one of my clients send a picture of me, a picture of himself, and I was like, okay, we need to bring up the hamstrings. We need to get his hamstrings bigger. I need to reflect that in his training. So I give him training cycles of like 2 weeks at a time. And I have an overall system that I have for 6 months. Let's say they're not going to be with me for 6 months, but I'm going to go down that path myself first and progress them as if I were going to be with them for 6 months. And then I would basically adjust as I see what happens, you know?
Exactly.
That's how it should be.
That's the only way it should be, right? And their cortisol and sleep patterns and children and life and work and travel. And I mean, there's so much that goes into why you can't look at someone's, I ate this today and say, okay, well, I'm going to eat the same thing. Good luck with that. I'm not eating 6,000 calories. I'll just throw that out there.
Are you going to eat chicken hearts and eggs with pork tenderloin? Because you could eat that. That's
I could. You know, everybody keeps talking about organ meat. So I don't want to say I'm lazy. I haven't gotten to the point where I can cook organ meat where I like it. So I take the organ complex from Paleo Valley.
Oh, yeah.
So
How many pills is that?
It's four. So based on the paleo concept, it's four pills. And it's got like ground heart and brain and all that kind of stuff in the capsules. And for me, like, I don't feel nutrient deficient in any way, shape or form. But yeah. I do want to get more creative with the organ meats. It's just... One, it's the way I know my wife will look at me if I bring organ meats and I'll start cooking them.
She's that's my wife with me. I know that.
Some liverwurst sausage.
Liverwurst is the best, man. Liverwurst from US Wellness. Robert and I are like, we need to be like spokesmodels.
So liverwurst sausage, I'll have to try that. I haven't tried that yet.
Yeah,
it's already cooked. All you got to do is heat and eat.
I just slice it up and fry it in whatever fat you want to put it in. And that's really good. Like for me, the chicken hearts is literally avocado oil, salt and pepper, man. I mean, I'm telling you, that stuff is like I said, it's like popcorn. And putting organ meats with eggs, it really does help. Like if you know you do liver and eggs, it makes it better. Mixing pork in like a sausage or, you know, something that has some strong flavor, it's going to kill it. Like, or even doing... here's another one that even my boys will crush, and it's ground up liver, ground up heart. So let's say 1/4 pound of liver, 1/4 pound of heart, and then 1 pound of beef and 1/2 pound of some type of sausage. So 1/4 liver, 1/4 heart, 1 pound of beef and 1/2 pound of sausage. That'll give you like enough for like several burgers, and they're all getting some organ meat and they're not tasting anything. They may be like, you know, did I smell something that tastes something, but it's not like, you know, it's not like, it's very, very rare. And then you put the cheese and the seasoning on and then forget it. It's like, it's, and then you're getting out everything you need, you know,
you just gotta try it. I'll try it.
Liver is hard, man. Liver is one of those that like, I got 18 pounds of liver, you know, cause I got excited.
You went to Restaurant Depot, huh?
I'm sitting here with like 15 left. I'm only eating 3 of it, and it's been like several months. And I'm like, what am I going to do with this, man? I need to just...
Buy a dog.
Just blend it into a smoothie, man. Just make
that's what Will Shufelt was doing. Will Shufelt was like taking raw liver, putting it in a shake with like collagen and...
Raw eggs.
Yeah.
No, I
think I'll pass on. I'd rather eat 6,000 calories.
Yeah, it was like, I take back what I said. I'll eat 6,000 calories. I won't.
That's where quantity beats quality, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I'll eat more of the good stuff than less of the bad tasting stuff.
Oh man, it's horrible. Hey, when is your book coming out, bro?
Are you talking about me?
Yep.
December turn-in date, and then if it's a December turn-in date, then the average turnaround for Victory Belt is 6 to 7 months. So. 3 months of it will be back and forth, you know, editing and them showing me all the Bigfoot pictures that I want, like, you know, because I want Bigfoot in there because Bigfoot is like a thing for us. So I want Bigfoot to be demonstrating the exercises. I want Bigfoot to be like when we do like those little side notes that we're doing, we do lots of side notes. And I always like the other day I had one that I'm like, okay, we should put a graph here. That's a very funny graph. Like I had this graph, like I forgot what it was, but it was like, two data points that are not your typical data points. They're like, you know, like overall joy and like something like that. So that's going to be part of the process because, you know, like when you write, you want your personality to come out. And like for me and Brian, you know, we're very silly, you know, we're serious, but we also like, we love Bigfoot. So yeah, hopefully June, July of next year, you'll see it on your local Costco or Borders or wherever.
Cool. So that'll be beautiful. Cool.
Great.
And then Robert, how are we doing with the bricks, man? I know that they continue to sell out, man. I can't think of anything that sells out as fast as bricks.
We're doing a launch today. Yeah, it's kind of crazy, man. We're doing a launch today. I'm assuming your podcast is probably going to go live today, but no. This will be the biggest launch we've made thus far. We've increased launch size every single month, and you know we sell out in minutes. So we're just scaling up and going gangbusters with it, you know.
Yeah, I had several clients tell me that they scheduled a special lunch today in order to get out to order. whatever you have to
I'm
do.
I'm just blown away that we've got as much support as we have. Like, I mean, any success that brick business sees is because of the people behind it, you know, not because of us. Like, it's all y'all. So I just want to say thank you for that, you know, because we couldn't do it without everybody.
Yeah, awesome. I think that was my only, when I was putting my numbers together, I was like, man, do I have room for bricks? Because I'll tell you right now, one of my favorite things in the world right now, where I don't really have cravings at all, keto. Like, you know, I can go for a steak. I've been eating steak every day for September, but I don't really have a, oh my goodness, I need to eat that. Until I had your brick in a keto coffee. Like, I just took it, mashed it up, sprinkled it in a keto coffee. Forget pumpkin spice, man. This thing was amazing.
I can't not have a whole brick. I have yet to not have a whole brick. I cut a half, and every single time I cut a half, I'm like, go right back and get that other half.
Yeah. Dude, it is strangely addicting. It's like the combination of salt and mocha. I don't know what it is, but it is kind of pretty good.
Nada's like, you're eating 1,000 calories. You don't have to eat the whole thing. And I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to eat the whole thing, you know? And it's funny because you wake up the next day, you feel great. You don't feel bad. It's always at night that I'll eat it. And I always wake up the next day, blood sugar stable, ketones are up, feeling good. Like, you know, Robert and I, we should talk. Robert, should we talk about December?
Yes, you should now because you just said it.
So that's true.
I'm the worst because I do this with my kids all the time. Like, because I'm the worst secret keeper. So I'm like, I got a surprise, but I can't tell you what it is. You know, and then I'd like 2 minutes later, I cave in. So like, I was thinking because Robert and I are gonna go with Ben Pekulski to Robert's a cabin in Arkansas, and we were saying that, you know, it's important that we don't eat and we only eat what we hunt, you know? So like, anything that we fish or shoot is what we'll eat. And I was thinking of taking bricks, you know, like maybe we each take like a brick or something. And then I'm like,
they'll be gone. Man,
maybe we don't take a brick, you know, because maybe you could all
pass. It's kill or be killed.
Yeah. I feel like, please, Naked and Afraid, people, those people are most of them are not keto. You know, they get into ketosis on, you know, in the wild, and they're going through that crap in the wild. Like, we're strong enough. We can do it.
Quick disclaimer, though, the three of us are not go there naked.
No.
Afraid. Or afraid.
Or afraid.
Go with confidence. We'd probably be
afraid if we were naked.
Content. With that said, first off, the thing I think is odd about Naked and Afraid is that they're really not naked and afraid, because they have like the guy that's holding a boom, right? The cameramen that are there. It's not like they're drone filming this stuff. So it's like you have an entire camera crew with you. I mean, like,
but you know what though? Like if you look at the because we're up to like season 8 or 9, and man, these things are getting terrible. They're getting to the point where like I'm like, man, this is too much, man. This is too much. You know, like these challenges that they're going through. Lots of people are not making it. And I guess that's good. That shows like that they're really in the real deal, like worst situation.
What kind of personality do you have to watch them go through that? I mean, cause you're filming and you're like, as you're eating a Snickers.
I think a lot of it is they have to have a crew, but a lot of it is that typical, like that little camera that they hold for themselves, but they do have to have a crew, at least a skeleton or one person. You know, where's that person sleeping? He's got his Nutri-Grain bars or whatever he's eating. Like, he's going back to his tent. All right, you guys, I'll see you later. I'm going to walk 100 yards and you know, a little generator. Fan.
Oh, man, it's horrible. Listen, I will, for those that don't know, it's Keto Savage on Instagram and Keto Brick on Instagram, Keto Counterculture on Instagram, fatfuel.family and ketosavage.com. I will put all those things in the show notes as well as the other things that we referenced. You guys, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I think that everyone, if they didn't listen to this episode and get a ton of information, the only thing my assumption could be is that they must be vegan. Seriously,
not a lot of absorption.
Their micronutrients have been so deprived. But seriously, guys, I appreciate you guys both so much. Keep killing it. And if there's anything I can ever do, just throw the shout out. Let me know.
Hey, shout out to you. Because we can go down some real big rabbit holes. And for you to keep us anywhere near the path is a credit to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm just trying to honor your time so that this isn't the last recording.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. Hey, Robert, reach out to Crystal. I know Brittany has asked me a few times to get Crystal on. So I think she wanted to talk like gut health and her journey and all that kind of stuff. There's been a ton of women feedback for that stuff. So 100%, if she's not too crazy to get on with Brittany and I, tell her we'd love to have her on as a guest.
Yeah, for sure. Consider it done.
All right. Appreciate it. You guys. Awesome. Good luck with the launch. And we will chat later.
Talk to you guys.
All right. Peace. Take care.
The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com.